Welcome to the Real Camille Show. I've got another episode for you today. We did this epic live interview with my good friend Rachel Alaya, who was streaming live from her homestead in Mexico, and I was streaming live from my homestead in Maine. And it was a total blast. We got into so many fun subjects: wild mothering, wild birthing and pregnancy, and sovereign beings and raising sovereign humans, and informed consent, and a whole lot more. I hope you enjoy. Come leave us a comment and let us know what you think, or visit me over at Camille Rose Fields on Instagram and my new account on Instagram at The Real Camille Show. I hope you enjoy it and let me know what you think. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Just going to let this fill up a bit. And my special guest, Rachel, will be joining us. Oh, there she is. Hi, Rachel. If you can just send me a request to join, then I'll add you. And everybody who's joining, just let us know where you're tuning in from. How's your day going? How are you? Oh, here we go.
Okay.
All right, so it's connecting. We're quite far away, and technology is beaming us together to join for right now. So, oh yay. Hope you all are having a wonderful day. I've heard so many things about people's days today being all over the map. We had a very intensely cold and very, very windy, almost like weirdly windy today. Trees bending almost completely over. Okay. Oh, shoot. It says she is unable to join. Let me try that again. Okay. I'm just going to ping her back and see if I can add her in. Connecting. Wonderful. Yay! That worked.
Woo! Awesome.
Oh my goodness, you still have daylight where you are.
I do, yes.
A little bit. Right. Oh, it's so wonderful to see your face.
Yeah.
Hello, beautiful.
Likewise. All my beverages here, so I'm set.
Mm-hmm. I know a little bit about that.
let's make sure that my camera wants to cooperate, of course.
Oh, yay.
I'm going to light up for us to start. I have one here, so.
Mm. Beautiful.
Take a moment to breathe together and arrive. It's an honor, really, to be here. So thank you for inviting me. Thank you for putting the invitation out.
Yes, completely. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm just like, this is just perfect. I love how Source just guides us to the right people to do things, and it's just always right there and always right meant to be. Where are you in the world? I mean, I know what country you're in, but
yeah, a little bit about myself maybe to introduce.
I would love that.
Open the space, and yeah, behind me I have probably the moon will rise not long, in not too long.
Mm-hmm.
So Right now I'm watching the sunset. It's really beautiful. I'm also watching my husband and my two sons taking or getting a warm bath ready outside, which is awesome.
Oh,
We have an
wow.
outside, like, bath set up, not quite as deluxe as yours, I would say, but it's still pretty cool. So
That's wonderful.
I live in a little town called El Tuito, which is in the coastal central, excuse me, the central coast of, and I'm about, oh, 30 minutes from the coast, from the ocean, south of Puerto Vallarta. And we have a homestead here, a ranch, and yeah, we live off grid. We live like very similarly, Camille, you and I, in many ways. So I have two little boys like you do, and yeah, and it was really funny last night. I was like thinking about you and thinking about this conversation, and I realized that both our youngest have the same name.
I know. I just care. I just love it. I love it.
So I was like, oh my God, that's so beautiful and like meant to be, you know?
Of
So,
course.
yeah.
Yes, it totally is meant to be, and I just love that, the tuning into the sunshine, and it's funny, like Sunny's name is Sunny, but I have been calling him Sunshine for a while now, and it just feels so right, and he loves it, and it just like feels really good, and he is that like energy of the light.
Yeah, I love it. Beautiful.
I was wondering what the second part of the name means.
Oh, good question. So Iyari is a Wiradika Huichol name, and it means corazón, it means heart, and aliento de la vida, which is like the breath of life, sort of. Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful.
That name was. Yeah, it came to me. It was special. It was funny because we were like, we did this pregnancy very, I guess you would call it like a wild pregnancy, off the grid pregnancy, like,
I love it off the
oh, like free
grid.
pregnancy. I don't know what you would call it, but basically like without any medical intervention and very intuitive process and really beautiful pregnancy. But I enjoy not necessarily confirming what the sex of my baby is going to be before it's born. And it's always really interesting to have conversations with people because that's like kind of the first thing that people ask you, is like, what are you going to have? You're like,
You're
ah,
like
it's a
a human
surprise.
baby.
What
That's always been my answer, is a human baby.
Yes, really healthy and so yeah. So the whole time I was like dreaming that it was a girl and imagining, yeah, just like receiving visions that it was a girl. And I was like, probably 95% of people that I saw were like, oh yeah, it's definitely a girl. Everyone has their like theories or whatever. And it was a boy, so we didn't even actually have a name prepared before he was born. So the name came to me actually. So that came like a couple of days after birth. Yeah.
Wow. How's that? So he was just born a few weeks ago, right? Or a month ago, maybe? Pretty
Yeah, he
new, right? Fresh.
So today he turned 6 weeks. So I have a 6-week-old son, and we'll see if he decides to join us at some point. Yeah, so I like breastfeed on demand, and that's really important to me too. So right now he's with Papa, but we'll see if he will be here. Yeah, so he's six.
I would love to hear more about this wild pregnancy, and did you free birth without any midwife assistance?
And just a little bit more about that, if you want.
So I'm actually, like, I can see right here in front of me, I'm, like, walking distance, maybe, like, 10 paces from a birth altar that was made by a friend and family of mine during the mother's blessing that I had in January before the birth of my son. And our plan during this pregnancy, my partner and I had the plan to give birth on the land without any kind of assistance or intervention by midwives or by, you know, medical professionals at all. Yeah, you would consider that to be like a free birth, a wild birth, or whatever you want to call it, birth, right? And yeah, so we had prepared for that, you know, like we didn't really go into it blindly. We both prepared, my partner and I, and he, I would say, like, became my doula. And I also, you know, like, you prepare yourself in many ways. You prepare yourself cognitively, like learning things, and you gain new skills, you prepare yourself mentally and emotionally and spiritually for the process of birth. You know, it's a big event, you know, and it's not a medical emergency, but it is a big event, you know, and it brings us close to death, I think. And that's a big thing, you know, for us. So, I had like a day long, first stage pregnancy, which was really beautiful. I like was, you know, at my home and I was doing my thing and I was resting and I was like nourishing my body that day. And, I remember that contractions started intensifying at some point. And so I stopped at my birth altar to like light my candles and, you know, say some prayers and get in the space. And I never left my birth altar before my son was born. So the power there that was at the altar was like super intense and drew my son out very quickly, you know? So I think even like 45 minutes of sitting there, you know, basically like contraction after contraction, I birthed my son there into my partner, my husband's arms, his father's arms. And that was really beautiful. It was super intense. It was like basically exactly what we wanted. You know, it was funny because we were like on our way, you know, within feet of the room that we were planning on birthing in. But, you know, our son had other plans to be birthed like directly on the land, basically. So it was really beautiful. And I had a friend there who was visiting around that time. And so she, you know, was like helping us and sort of like grabbing towels and doing things for us that was super helpful at the time. But, you know, she wasn't like trained in medicine or anything. She was there to really hold space and like just kind of be a fly on the wall and help us out. But other than that, you know, it was really like my partner and I, my son went with my mother and that was intentional. So, but yeah, it was like, it was beautiful. It was exactly what we wanted. And yeah, it was really interesting. I've been thinking obviously a lot about this topic being that we just went through this, you know, six weeks ago. And the whole time leading up to the birth too, like having lots of conversations with people about birth and pregnancy. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like many things we talk about these days, it's kind of a hot topic for people. And when you tell people that your plan is to give birth off grid, you know, an hour from the hospital by yourself and your husband, it can bring up a lot of things for people, you know, like you become the receiving end of a lot of projections and a lot of fear. And it's really interesting navigating that. I also had really beautiful conversations with people too, like amazing, like really surprising conversations with people. I traveled a bit like in the end of my pregnancy, so I got to meet more people along the way there. So, but yeah, it was, it was like a, you know, as you know, I can imagine, Camille, like having gone through it twice yourself, it's an initiation And it's like a big, huge moment as a woman to step into your power in a different way like that. And I don't know, I think I would imagine that like each birth is very different and sort of like brings you into deeper connection with yourself and the cosmos and God and the earth and life and death and all of the things that, you know, are meaning making and life shaking and powerful for us, you know, as women and in this life. So, yeah.
Wow. Yes, for sure. An initiation completely. I just have like the chills, but the kind that like are your like chest is expanding, you know? I feel so happy to hear that it went so beautifully and, you know, was right under the sky and right outside. And it really sounds like an incredibly empowering experience. And, you know, what a journey to really be in a place too of, you know, quite literally like birthing without fear, right? There's all these books and document. I think there's, it might even be a documentary, Birth Without Fear. Feels familiar. And that's such an interesting thinking about fear as this, like, you know, it's a low vibrational state. And so many people, so many women I speak to are so scared of childbirth. And we're really shaped to be scared of childbirth. And I feel like I would wonder if one never saw any Hollywood, you know, cultured, programming of any shows or movies or conversations even with, or projections, like you're saying, of people, if anyone would actually be scared, or if that's our, you know, innate nature as a woman to be that, or if that's completely, you know, programmed, tapped in. I feel like what a beautiful thing to come from that, like, high frequency of empowerment and be in a space of that for bringing your son into the world.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot in what you said, I think. And I think I will bring it back to something that a friend just sent me in a private message of a book they were reading. And I didn't even ask them what the book was. Like, they sent the front of the cover of a book and then like screenshots of a Kindle thing. So I don't think that one was the other. But the book basically was saying, the screenshot that she had sent was saying that we are taught within an authoritarian system, we are taught to inherently mistrust ourselves and our bodies. And so the mere act of like choosing to, you know, live your life a certain way, and especially to like give birth a certain way, or to you know, any of those things that goes that like basically says I'm choosing this for myself, you know, and I'm actively doing that, and I know what the risks are and I know what the benefits are, and I have like this thing, this experience has my full and informed consent. Like, there's something about that in the face of authoritarianism that allows like this really beautiful, magical blossoming to occur, I think, and, you know, evolution of spirit and mind and consciousness and innovation and creativity and, you know, all of these things. So yeah, it's really, it's like, it's interesting because I don't want to say that I birth without fear completely, but I feel like my relationship with fear is so different than many people's. That's after many years of like consciously being in relationship with my fear, you know, and mm-hmm. work with it to such a degree that I don't allow it to know to any longer like be the sole resource of my decision making, like many people do, you know, in an unconscious way, whether they're aware of it or not, you know. So I think that, you know, of course, like fear has its place evolutionarily speaking, and fear, you know, role in many ways is to like keep us alive and keep us safe and keep us secure. But is it appropriate to the situation that we're facing right in front of us? You know, it's that's a question we always have to ask ourselves. Is this fear warranted? Is this fear appropriate? Is this fear like the response that is in my highest good and the highest good for all in this moment? You know, like maybe it is, you know, and like how are we choosing to respond? But like something I always think about like often is how something from the outside can look, you know, like you can bring in a certain intentionality into an experience, and from the outside it can look very similar to something that is very fear-based, but you're actually doing it in a, from a place of deep love, you know. And someone can come at you and tell you like, oh, you're, you know, I don't know. It's always very interesting to think about our relationship with fear, I think.
Yeah, I feel like too, I heard this phrase a long time ago, and it constantly comes back up for me, is fear stands for false events appearing real. Right. And I really have always resonated with that. And I now completely understand it more and more so all the time. And I feel like there is a place for fear. And there's also, you know, there's a really big difference for me between fear and discernment, and that in the having a relationship with discernment and having that be really based on intuition. And yeah. I feel like for me, intuition is sort of like my guiding force for discernment, because you can really feel it. And, you know, I've had experiences in my life where my intuition was completely shot, and I had to completely learn how to have intuition again. And yeah. I was taught this little practice where you do these like tiny little baby steps of intuition, of like trusting like the silliest little thing, like should I put my journal down right here or should I put it over here? Like it's so silly, right? You're like, what in the world, Camille? Why would you ever need to use your intuition for that? But really, when you need to develop that and relearn it and remember it in so many ways, it takes these tiny, tiny little steps to develop that again. Do you feel like through your mothering experience, and especially through this past, you know, wild pregnancy and wild birthing, that you was intuition a big at play for you?
Yeah, I mean, everything, like, so there's so many layers to this, right? Like the process, I think, especially of women, as like of reclaiming our sense of knowing, and as mothers, like our sense of, you know, instinctual mothering, and you know, knowing what we know and feeling what we feel and trusting that. And that's pretty, like, pretty radical these days, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you, of course, you balance that with, like, if you're carrying certain, you know, like life experiences, or, you know, like paradigms of the world or philosophies, and, you know, like having to sort of dance amongst all of that, you know. But I think that there is something about like tuning into the frequency of your heart and tapping that into something greater than yourself that, you know, I at least recognize a source as, you know, God and Goddess, Godhead. But it's like when you It's really interesting, Camille. Like, even just being able to have this conversation, I had a family friend over the other day, and like I'm just reminded of how starkly different, like, I live versus somebody who lives in a city who, like might be tuned into some like a different, frequency and is like spraying everything and wearing the mask and, all of this. And we're just sort of sitting there like, wow, okay, and they asked us, how are you taking care of yourself? Because they had actually come to town to like get vaccinated and, having to even just like rewind it to such a degree to be like, okay, like how do I explain to this person how our philosophies on like health and life and how we choose to live are just so radically different that like you almost like can't even have a conversation sometimes, It's like it's hard to find that space where you can be like, look, like this is how we view reality. Like this is how we choose to live our life. This is how we, do things here. And yesterday I saw like a meme somewhere, someone had written a comment. I can't even remember where it was, of course, but it was something like, I know you and I have a passion for like quantum healing and all of that. And this person was looking at it from like a timeline split perspective, sort of, and saying that like you can kind of see around you, like just how stark this, I mean, this split is in many ways, It's just like, man, I almost can't find a space to. Like, I have so much compassion for somebody who lives in so much fear like that, but it's just hard to be surrounded by that constantly. I feel very, very blessed that I live where I live and I have been led to and have chosen to create my life this way.
Yeah, I feel you on that. And I would sort of, choose to dim myself, dim my light, and try and shrink down my weirdness, if you will, and really just hide so many kind of aspects of myself that have been, just peeling back layers and layers and layers. And then you feel like, okay, the layers must be off at this point. Surely I must be done with this whole peeling away process. And then, like, lo and behold, the very next day, you're just like, wow, am I having a mass awakening of spirit today again? Sure. Okay. Again, I'm ready. So just always staying open and just like learning more and more about ourselves of like, wow, we are going to align with so many people in so many ways and sort of share some of that frequency that you're talking about. And then there now feels like a much clearer separation of those frequencies aligning or not aligning at all. And
Well, it's
that I
almost
think is
of discernment that you're talking about, I think. It's sort of just like, okay, like this is, I in that situation even, like I didn't even feel the need to explain my, I'd had no desire to explain. But of course my partner, he's like, can't keep his mouth shut sometimes. So he doesn't, but I'm not gonna dim myself. My husband's just like, let me just tell you. But I'm just like, okay, then this should be interesting conversation. But I think it does have to do with discernment, intuition, to all of that, and the recognition that like, oh, yeah. you know, I don't know. It's almost like it's hard to, I think, around exactly, you know, like when you sent me the list of topics we could talk about tonight and like awakening experience that I've possibly had this year or that you've experienced too. And it's just kind of like, oh, like how do you even explain that to somebody in, you know, layman's terms, I think. And it's hard, you know, but I think like putting it in layman's terms, saying intuition, saying like, okay, well, there is this sense of knowing that was suddenly like very strong, you know, and it's, you know, guiding me into what I call like this path to birthing a new earth, you know, and yeah, it's just, I know why I'm here, you know, I like feel very strongly that I am being led towards something and sharing that with people and creating community. And yeah, it just feels, it's very beautiful, you know, and intuition is a huge part of it. And I think really like learning how to trust ourselves. You said something about, you know, taking small steps and doing almost like silly tasks to be able to like flex that muscle almost, you know? And I think that's super important and I think also like, you know, being willing to course correct when you fail, you know, like being willing to like say, damn, like I should have listened to that little tiny voice inside that was like, hey, don't do that, you know, or like, hey, go there, hey, you know, like, but I will like 110% that I would not be here if I didn't develop that sense of trust, if I didn't develop that intuition, if I didn't listen to that little voice that said, hey, like your life is slowly killing you right now. Like you need to change. You need to switch it up. You need to do something like go this direction, you know, and then you're letting the next step and you're just like, okay, this is it, you know? And I mean, I don't know. That's just how I live my life. And like, not many people get that, you know, like you're talking about Earth and everything. Like not many people can get the fact that like, I want to give birth on my own terms at home by myself with my partner. Like they just can't even wrap their heads around it. Like many people who I talk to are just like, what is that even? What are you even talking about? Like, I will be honest, the first time my friend told me, she was like, I gave birth by myself. Like, my husband was there, but I kind of, like, pushed him in the other room. And I was like,
what?
I didn't even know that was possible. Like, you could birth on your own. Like, what is that? Sorry, it's getting kind of dark here. Hopefully.
I don't want your sorrow. That's like our new saying, Samantha and I, we catch each other with the sorry thing because we're like, woo, I don't want your sorrow. But it's so funny. It's like the intuition is always so spot on. And the only time I feel like I have to course correct is when I haven't listened to my intuition. It's like silly example. Last night I had all these like, sprouting and microgreens trays out on the counter, like 10 different little like planting projects of like my indoor growing food and stuff. And I was like, all right, my cats, I've trained my cats to use soil instead of kitty litter.
Okay.
Because I'm like, what even is kitty litter made out of? It's like silly. So I know I can go get like a shovel of soil. So I've trained them to do that. So I was like, all right, I need to figure out my seed trays with my cats. And I have a younger kitty. And I was like, I'll just cover everything with a blanket. It'll be fine. And I was a little tired and it was not the best choice. But I knew what the right choice was. And I was like, this is my Band-Aid option because I'm too tired to make the right choice right now. And of course, when I woke up, there was like a total mess on my counter. One cat had like napped in one of the boxes with the blanket in the soil. The other one had like dug one up. And I was like, wow, just first thing in the morning, the exact, you know. And so it was just one of those little reminders, like your intuition is pretty much always spot on, especially if you've developed listening to your intuition. And somebody asked me just the other day, she was like, what's your advice for going on a big trip? It feels like it's a really like life-changing time for me. And I was like, don't ask for signs and then ignore the signs, or look to somebody outside of yourself to confirm your intuition. And I said to her, your intuition is the sign, and you don't need someone outside of yourself to confirm that. And I feel like that's been a huge part of my personal awakening, is that is completely detaching from that old programming of always needing to confirm something outside of myself. And that is just like a lifetime of untraining that principle, where you constantly need to have something confirmed, but it's not you, like from somebody else. Yeah. And I used to so struggle with decisions or like trusting, because I always needed to like, okay, I need to talk to this person or that person or this person and just like confirm it. And that's been for the past year plus, just something to like completely constantly peel away, that we don't need that. And we have the answers as soon as we tune in and tune into our intuition and to like what our energy, as long as we're not, if our energy is pure and it's our own, then we can trust our intuition. I feel like if our energy is being messed with, or if it's not completely our own, then that's not the time to like completely trust our intuition or trust ourselves. But yeah.
Yeah, discernment again is key. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you and I have had a conversation too this year about like setting boundaries and learning how to set boundaries and, mm-hmm. you know, what that actually means, you know, and the discomfort that comes with that and the willingness to like, you know, kind of put your foot down, or the willingness to, you know, like,
it's vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a vulnerable space to be in, to set a boundary. And it's like, goes back to what you were saying earlier about being taught and programmed to distrust ourselves. I don't remember exactly the word, but it makes it so that boundary setting feels unnatural, where it's like, I look at the youngest child, right? Maybe your oldest is like getting close to 5. Is that correct?
He just turned 4. Yeah.
Or he just turned 4. But yeah. Like, think about a child and their ability to set boundaries. And like, when they want to set a boundary, they'll scream it. So you're like, they could hurt their own lungs by how loudly they need to set a boundary. And right. That to me is like, well, that's natural. That's a sovereign being right there. That comes in. We come in with that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, programmed out of us, or whatever terms you want to use.
I mean, I think this connects even with the idea of consent, which is something that I feel passionate about, a topic that I think as a mother.
Let's talk about that.
I mean, when I became a mother, I made the decision, like, mothering a boy, you know, especially, I wanted to teach him, you know, boundaries and consent, and create a culture in my house and my family of consent, where we respect each other's boundaries. you know, which wasn't necessarily something that I experienced in my house. And I think many of us haven't, you know, and that's not like by the fault of our parents, I don't think, but I think it's definitely like, it's just the sort of like the baseline standard for many households, you know, is like enmeshment and a lack of boundaries. So mm-hmm. being able to tell your son and reinforce to your child, like, hey, you are allowed to say no, and I will respect that, you know. Of course, there's like situations and circumstances and all of that, but like letting them know that they have the power to like tell their grandma that they don't want to give them a hug today, or they mm-hmm. You know, don't feel like, you know, doing, you know, whatever it is, like really being willing to have the conversation around them creating and honoring their autonomous, you know, sovereign experience as children. And I think that as children, I mean, becoming a mother, I became aware of the fact that like we're a very almost like old, oppressive society in many ways. Like we in many ways have built into the culture like ways to tear down, like I said, this the sense of intuition or self-trust or you know, creativity in school, mm-hmm. or you know, like, yeah, it's just like it's part and parcel of this sort of, you know, structured system. And recognizing that we have an opportunity as parents to actually create a different narrative and to form like human beings, you know, like to like not beat around the bush, but to like help the next generation of people who are gonna be creating this, you know, new planet we want to be creating together. So yeah, mm-hmm. for me it's really big. And I think going from micro to macro, thinking about the idea of consent in culture these days is very interesting, right? Like I really just firmly believe that we each are our own experts for our lives and our health, you know. And I absolutely don't discount like the education that somebody can have or the experiences that somebody can have, but I, you know, I trust that you are the expert of your life, Camille, and other people like know what they really need for themselves, you know. And I really just firmly believe that, and that I think has to do with consent, you know, and has to do with you know, like having a sense of self-trust and knowing that you know we can you know create health for ourselves. Like, what a concept, you know.
Right. I feel like that even is like it goes back to that, like, are we looking for an answer outside of ourselves? And you know, so much of culture is dependent on this sort of authoritarian environment of a bait, like we're heavily indoctrinated in that way in the school system, as well as, you know, the medical system. Like, you don't know best, your teacher knows best, or you don't know best, your doctor knows best. And strangely, those are two things I did not grow up with.
Right.
You know, I was empowered to do my own unschooling, whatever I wanted, you know, at so many points in my life. And so, and then I also was not, you know, taken to a doctor as a child or anything as well. And so for me, the authoritarian system has always been like,
a little foreign, right?
Yeah, it's a little foreign. I attempted for so long to mold myself to be part, like, you know, as growing up as being like the odd one out, it felt very uncomfortable.
Right.
And it felt so intense at times, in my upbringing, to be so different and so not fitting in that I would try to mold myself to fit in into these spaces. Or like I dabbled in going to, a public school system environment. And so I would try to mold myself because it was like I stuck out like a sore thumb anywhere they went, because I just couldn't figure out like how do you just be like all the other people and all the other kids. And then even in that rolled into adulthood years, and even up until really up until motherhood, when you're just like, wait a second, I don't want to fit into the other those systems of sort of that authority style of parenting. And when I started to become a parent, I pored over so many books that were really heavily based on intuition, using your intuition as a parent, and then also raising an independent human, raising a sovereign being human. And really that was like sort of the beginning of kind of embracing that for myself and being like, well, I actually don't really agree with that style of parenting. And I could never feel like I'm the boss of my child. That feels so wrong. And so that really just helped completely course correct for myself in that way. So I feel like that's a constant evolution as a parent that we deal with.
Totally.
Hello, soul. I just love the sounds. Oh, yes.
Breastfeeding, so he's a little cranky. He's like right around that gassy time.
It's like the hearts are exploding off the screen. Everybody's like, oh, Kara, we love the sounds. It's a babe. It's funny because my puppy is like right at my side trying to ask me to like go outside, mommy, right now too. Poking at my hip. You got this, girl. Just have a seat. Lay down. Well, this is a great, I feel, segue into, managing our time as mothers and having like this, working from home lifestyle. And it's funny because the word work has really felt like not resonant for me lately, but I haven't quite figured out what else to call it, right? Like I do a lot of work all day, every day, between bouncing around the homestead and children and animals and cleaning in the house and all the things. All of it. How's that feeling and how's that going, transitioning from, one child to the one child plus the babe? All of that.
Yeah. I mean, so I think there's always like a learning curve when you're brand new to something, So I'm 6 weeks into momming too, which, I feel like I'm still like kind of in this period. We just passed our 40-day mark of, after birth. So yeah, it's very different, the first time I gave birth, my partner had just started a business the month before, so he wasn't around as much. He was very present with the business, and this time he's here at home with us, working from home, so that makes it very different, having a two-parent household where people are present, I very much, I am very grateful for the situation that we have. But yeah, so we sort of like hop back and forth, you know. We have a 4-year-old and then we have the 6-week-old, so it's a lot of baby wearing and we unschool the 4-year-old, which is like a whole beautiful process, and we kind of just bring him along with life in many ways. I know that you can probably relate. And it's cool. Like, we make it work, I think, as mothers. I think we just, one thing happens, the next thing happens. You know, life happens and you learn how to meet it as it goes, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I really feel that. I really feel too, like the children want to be part of, and that's something that's always felt so resonant for me, is they're coming to join us. They're not coming to be an inconvenience or to be sent off in that direction while we go off in this direction. And they really are coming to be a part of the life. And that's something that's always been so important to me, is including my children and what I do and being around. And that's why I've always just figured out ways to work from home and figured it out, even with many struggles along the way, and many breaking points along the way too. But I really feel that they're coming to join in and be a part of it all. And that's like, That goes for me, it always comes back to this whole, you know, raising a sovereign being and having that intention for myself. And, you know, it's so fun to talk to you because we are so extreme to some people and doing things that are like really next level, or like, you know, the wild birthing, or like, I just had an experience of like having no running hot water for a whole year. And my family members were like, we don't even know if we can come visit. Like, this is getting crazy, Camille. And I'm just like, oh, I'm taking this opportunity to go get to the next level of sovereign living. And that doesn't like make a whole lot of sense to people. Like, why would you inconvenience yourself to that? And it's really, it's for me, it's like a step along in the journey of right. Why are we here?
I'm always like really, I mean, to talk, even to talk on the topic of and stuff, I'm always really intrigued maybe by like how mamas like manage their time. Mm-hmm. Often, like, don't necessarily feel like my time gets managed per se. You don't want me to talk, do you? Quiet.
He's like, as soon as you start talking, you're not focused on what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm always intrigued by like how. Like, I don't know, some people are super structured with their time, some people are like super unstructured with their time, so I don't know how do you manage your time?
I am probably the most unstructured of anybody I know, and it drives a lot of people crazy.
I was actually like super curious about how
the fact that I've started booking things for two nights out of the week is actually like an extraordinary deal, but it's part of the mission, and so I'm just rolling with it, and I've just decided I can choose not to at any point, and I'm just flexible. But I mean, you can ask the people close in my life, like, I can't schedule anything. And somebody recently told me it's called wizard time. And I was like, oh, how interesting. And I run on wizard time, which I've heard the term island time, which I never really liked because it sort of implies like a sense of laziness. And I'm like, I'm really not that. It's just that I wanna hunker down and focus on my things. And I don't really know how I'm gonna feel 6 hours from now. And so like, I can't schedule something with you. And so it's definitely been an interesting experience, finally really coming to terms with that and just embracing it completely and fully. And it takes so many steps of creating the lifestyle to be able to do that. And so I have a couple of different businesses, and I do have a business partner in one of my businesses, who happens to be my father. And so it really works out well that we've come to the term of, you know, just not scheduling things strictly for my sake. And that really works for me.
Yeah. Oh. Stuck in a baby.
Just that sweet little sound when they're like,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel you. My partner is like a quadruple Sagittarius, and my son is also a Sag. And Sag energy is very like, don't rein me in, don't hold me down.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I have a Virgo moon, so I'm always like, I gotta make a list. I gotta have, even if I like don't actually do anything on the list, I have the list. So, yeah, like we have an interesting, but I also have a lot of Sag energy too. So, whenever I have tried to be like, okay, we're gonna do like a rhythm this week where Mondays we do X and Thursdays we do Y, my partner's like, ha, 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 I don't think. You know, I'm like, oh.
Just laughs at you about it.
A little bit of, you know, a little bit of structure, X, Y, and Z here. And he's just like, does that mean we have to, like, you know, have a routine? And he's like, no, I'm not down. So I feel you.
It's like my least favorite word. One of the many, but.
No, I don't know. Like, I fight against it, but I also like know that I really kind of like it at the same time. So I'm always like, it never actually works for me. I don't know. Always like, I think that it's, you know, I was like thinking about, I was watching your stories the other day, Camille, and you were saying that like you have this new family tradition to like, you know, journal before breakfast, right? Or something like that. And, you know, like, I feel like, it's nice to have little rituals like that as a family. And I think it's also really nice to like grow and evolve as a family. So knowing that like you don't have to like stay stuck in one thing all the time, like forever.
Yeah.
Just try something new. But yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said about too, about like having certain things we do like at certain times of year almost that I think as a family or it's like fun to look forward to or to create together or I would always like to like maybe like weave a little more of that into my life, like a little more magic almost, like those magic moments that feel like, oh, like this isn't a mundane thing, this isn't like a chore, this is like something that's unlocking like a deeper level of I don't know, knowing or meaning or
well, I feel like that's so much of our role too as parents, where I've come to as my role is I never want to diminish a desire for learning ever. And I remember, it's so funny the random like tidbits that you remember growing up, but I remember being in school. I was in school for musical theater, and I had this friend who was like, man, I wish I could just always be in school. I just always want to keep learning. And that has stuck with me for so many years because I'm like, well, why would we ever stop learning? We never start at a certain age. And I remember I've always gotten this question, like, when did you start homeschooling your kids? And it's like, when they like are born, like they birth, they, you know, like they were born and life started. And that to me is like, I don't, having something that's so, you know, systematized as a schooling and like when you're supposed to start and all, you know, this and this throughout your whole day. It's like, for me, that was more of that molding. Like, how am I going to mold myself to be more like part of the system? And which was just completely left behind completely. But, you know,
right.
How do I empower my children who literally now are 4 and 9 and wake up thirsty for learning? Like, they wake up and they're like, what am I gonna do today? And like, the oldest is just, you know, he's out in the woods cutting down a tree and he's like, I think I'm gonna make another bow and arrow set. This one's gonna be for Sunny. I'm like, all right, amazing. And you know, and just like wants to sharpen his skills in so many different ways. And I've really had to dabble in so many different experiences of being a parent and really learning what feels the best for them. Mm-hmm. And it's like empowering them to sort of listen to their own intuition. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've learned along the way as an adult as well. Oh, it feels the best when I listen to my own intuition. And how do I encourage that in these little beings who come in so strong, like wanting to listen to their intuition and knowing what feels totally wrong and really, really can make amazing choices for themselves all the time when they're given the permission, given the tools to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I can remember very specifically, it was my final quarter of college. I was going to UC Santa Barbara in California. And I was taking this class. I had made education as a minor. So I was studying education and I ended up getting my master's. And I took this class that was very like formative for me. And the professor of this class was a former student of Krishnamurti, who is a philosopher, a really brilliant mind. And the class, I think it was called something like Equity, Democracy, and Schooling. And I remember it was very much about like creating, it was for, you know, it was for people who wanted to be teachers, and mm-hmm. it was about creating a learning environment for students that was conducive to, you know, really fostering, cultivating a child or a student's natural intelligences and creativities. Which is not something you really see, you know, in these authoritarian spaces we've been talking about, you know, mm-hmm. and really. And so, like, I can remember this course was really awesome. Like, I remember really, really enjoying it when I was in the class. And for our final, I remember coming in like a little bit before the class was like, you know, set to end near the end of the year. And our professor was like, okay, so for the final, I want you all to do something, create something that should be learned. And that was like it, like period. And like, I remember looking around the room and my peers were like all kind of freaking out, you know, they were all kind of like, what did he just say? Like, what do we do? You know, like, well, what's the rubric? What, like, are you going to give us a essay prompt or like, I don't know, they're like waiting for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was like a, like you could hear like a pin drop in the room because everyone's just like like what do you mean, like what, huh, you know. And I just remember there was a lot of confusion at first. It was sort of just like, well, yeah, just show me what, should just create something. And people are like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I need like, more instruction.
Yeah, like tell me what to do. Like, please, just tell me what to do. And so I remember, like, it ended up being really cool, like the things that people ended up creating. And like I think I ended up doing like a piece of collage art, and then I got up and I sang a song in front of everybody. And my idea was, you know, the show, I don't know if you remember the show on TV called The Weeds, and it was like about this like older mother who like sold weed. And anyways, there
I've seen a couple episodes.
So there was like a theme song that was called Tiny Boxes, and like think outside the box, you know. And so I created a whole like themed idea of think outside the box, and like other people did really cool shit, you know, like decorate a skateboard or like I don't know, like all kinds of stuff, right? So in the end, it was really cool, but I just remember that initial shock of just like, what do we do? You know, and like not really having or knowing, being given that freedom, like not even really knowing where your own creative voice is, you know? And so about, I think the whole like unschooling, life schooling process in many ways is that it, from the get-go, creates a space of like show me, like create something that shows me what you've learned, you know. And you're constantly, so you're constantly like, you know, into new things and like adding new skills and growing, you know, growing the, you know, the vocabulary of life experience, you know. And so I think it's really beautiful to be able to give a child from the get-go, you know, an experience that really does foster their innate creativity, where you don't have to tell them what to do. They're just like excited about creating something, or they're excited about learning, or they're excited about life, you know, because you're not like controlling and repressing their natural tendencies.
Yes, yes, I completely resonate with that. And I with my oldest is a great example for that. He's very artistically talented, and that just that's like me as a really excited mother giving him art supplies way early. Like, totally fell in love with this local art supply shop, and I was like, I'm gonna get all these things because I want them, but I'll give them to him because they're kid art supplies. And he just like played and just kept going, and that was my like babysitting tool for when I had to work. Was he had art supplies, and he would just like dive in and make total messes, like crazy messes, break crayons, pencils, draw on the walls, all these ridiculous things, being really messy along the way. But because he wasn't, you know, told that was like for later on or anything like that, it just developed this like desire for him to just get really into it and really embrace it. And that's not even like his main focus, but it's just still a part of who he is that he's just always had this like this sense of creativity. I think it's one of our senses. We have more than five senses, and I feel like I don't really know what they all are at this point. And I keep finding different answers. I'm like, somebody said we have seven. I found another thing that said we have 12. I found, and another friend of mine said we have over 30, and I was like, what? Okay, there's just no limit on how many senses we have.
The limit does not exist.
It does not exist. It really doesn't. Oh, wow. Yes. Is there just, like, anything else that's just... To wrap up our evening, it's 9:09 right now. And any last little burning thoughts that are just popping through for you?
I think that maybe what I want to say is what's coming through has to do with there being a lot of fear right now, people around being afraid of what other people think of you, or being afraid of being canceled, or being, you know, cast out or not belonging. And I can, I guess I just want to speak to that just for a moment. Say that, you know, if that's real for you, if that is something that you experience, if you're just like, man, I don't know, like, I have to Camille, but I could never say those things, or I really like want to change X, Y, or Z, but I don't, you know, I couldn't possibly, you know, I couldn't possibly, is often what the voice says, right? Are you gonna let me talk, Sol? And I think just recognizing that belonging and wanting to be a part of something bigger than ourselves is such a huge, like, deep need as beings, and feeling the of not belonging, like feeling the risk of potentially like losing loved ones, you know, like potentially, oh goodness, yes, okay, we'll see how this goes. You know, losing loved ones, losing friendships, losing, losing your place in the community in many ways. The experience of exile, I think one is often that comes up in like myths and fairy tales of our way back peoples and our ancestors. And there's a lot of terror associated with that. And the recognition that like we don't have to live in fear like that anymore in many ways. And we can find people who are of like hearts and trust that there are those out there who are like us, and who value what we value, and who see things and who feel things in a similar way, you know. So I think that just closing is putting out there in the interwebs, like, you know, you're not alone, I think, and taking baby steps in many ways, and knowing that, you know, you ultimately are your best friend, and you are resilient, and you can find community and other people who will support you and love you no matter what, actually. So
it's true.
It's possible.
It's true. We're out here. Yeah. That's just perfect. Thank you for that last thought. And that just sums it right all up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, and your little one too.
I love you.
Love you. Good night, all.